Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Back in Rikers is meaningful because we agree that, you know, the worst of the worst, the firearms violations, the murders, the kidnappers, the rapists, you know, will come to our attention, term release, we can grab them. But I made it clear, I want everybody. If you're an illegal alien, you get booked in Rikers Island, I don't care if it's for shoplifting, I want them. So this is a start to deal with the worst of the worst in the beginning, but I made it clear that my plan on the whole of them, I want everybody. So we're going to work toward that. We agreed to some other things I'm not going to discuss on national TV because I don't want the city council to know what I'm doing. City council is fighting the mayor and everything.
What's up,
so
everyone?
Let's surprise them on what we're coming to the table with and let them sue me. Bring it, because I'm done. I'm not running a popularity contest. I came to New York to get meaningful action. We got a lot of words in the last meeting I had. Today I came, I want action, I want a plan, and we're leaving with a partial plan, but I'll come back every week if I have to finish this plan. But it's a good first step to get back on Rikers Island. That's a game changer.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if y'all caught that today as we wait on everybody to roll in here. Just little story, federal government decides to go and like just seize control of Rikers Island just to shove all of the illegals. If you end up getting arrested for shoplifting and you're illegal, Rikers Island. Holy freaking cow. I can't believe that actually went down today. Clean your ficus, Preston. Dude, what are you guys even talking about in the chat as you guys roll? And I hope you guys are ready for a good show. We had some, I don't know, I would call it big news, happened over inside Gaza when we started talking about like some of the upper echelons of Hamas being eliminated in a freaking big airstrike. Some of the other videos that ended up coming out afterwards also kind of draw a couple questions. Jimmy the Jew, good audio. Thank you for noticing, man. Yeah, it's been up there for a while. It's good that I know not everybody watches every single night, but I'm glad that you guys can roll in from time to time. So I hope you guys are ready. Let's go ahead and, you know, normally I wait on more people to roll in, but I'm just kind of excited about this because it's got me so freaking pumped. Love seeing all these new little things go up. Before we get into that portion, I want to bring up Ukraine real quick because a lot of people are asking what's going on over there. And trying to keep up with the freaking, actually multiple different war fronts right now. But yeah, I want you guys to take a listen about what's coming to a head. I know I told you guys that as soon as these deals start falling apart, we're going to see every single conflict zone start to tick up. We're going to start seeing the Ukraine versus Russia conflict zones tick up. We're going to see everything happen between Hamas inside Gaza. And then, of course, the big freaking scary elephant in the room, Iran. Right. Iran's got tons of freaking problems. We're going to have to deal with the Houthis as well. Guaranteed, they're not going to go down quietly after this. They already answered back to the killings that took place over in Gaza today. And also Hamas ended up freaking, rounding up. But anyways, point being, all of these things, Russia is kind of a little linchpin as it goes to negotiating with Iran. That kind of fell through. The negotiations between Ukraine and Russia look like they're falling through, which is where this video is going to come in place. And clearly, what's taking place over inside Gaza? Netanyahu came out today and he said that they're going to be moving any day now, authorizing the IDF to go in and finally wipe Hamas off the face of the planet. So why do I bring this up? Because all of these things, like I had told you, they're all kind of tied together and they're all going to end up coming to a head really, really quick. Listen to this.
And then we talk about the resiliency force, and this is a force of what they call the E3, but it's actually now E4. When you're talking about the Brits, the French, as well as the Germans, and now actually the Poles have a force west of the Dnieper River, which means it's out of contact range, and then to the east you have a peacekeeping force and what it would look like with a third party involved with that, so you can actually monitor a ceasefire. So we have this thing pretty well planned out. We looked at it. This term sheet is pretty extensive. We've actually passed that to the Ukrainians, to the Russians, to the members of NATO and the E3. So we're very, very comfortable where we're at, what it should look like, a peace should look like. Obviously with negotiations it's not going to be perfect. It never is. But there'll be some give and take. We fully understand that. And then we talk about
Great. The
resiliency force. And
so we're talking about moving more and more troops getting up over into Ukraine. It ended up coming out today. Trump's envoy to Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, said that the USA is discussing deployment of British, French, German, and Polish armies into Ukraine west of the Dnipro. And so for anybody curious, that is outside of the, I guess you could call it contact area, really, but it's not. All right, so moving him in west of Dnipro. He says it was previously discussed with the E3, but it has now turned into four with Poland ended up joining in the talks. Poland obviously wants to freaking get after it. Don't forget, please like, share, and subscribe. Oh, yeah, hit that bell thingy too, would you? Thank you, Sean Waite. Thank you. Yeah, I work long and hard on these dang shows. I love it when you guys end up coming in here. Tom Bone says, have you heard about the Chinese spy bases in Cuba? I posted an article from Epoch Times on X, and I tagged you in it. Tom, I missed that article. I'm sorry, but what I did coming out of Cuba was that we ended up cutting off It was military supplies. Like, we're basically not going to be selling Cuba anything anymore. We're stopping all of that crap that would have been flowing over there, which is amazing to me that we were even doing that, seeing how we just ended the sanctions and all that crap with them not that long ago. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me if the Chinese have spy bases down there, and that's the real reason. The reason that the U.S. government ended up coming out and stating was that they're basically harboring a bunch of fugitives and not like willing to kick them out. They're not even willing to engage in talks. So because of that, we ended up striking back towards Cuba in that manner. But honestly, to me, it doesn't surprise me at all that the Chinese are down there. I mean, they're all over South America, and they're coming up all around us. So yeah, Cuba, not necessarily a good place to be. So let's go over here. I want to play you guys a clip of John Spencer talking on the death of Mohamed Sinwar. I'm going to save that. I'm going to put that all the way back here. I'm going to save that because I want to show you guys the strike that ended up taking place. For those who are unaware, Mohamed Sinwar, along with what is believed to be the spokesperson for Hamas, ended up getting eliminated today in a strike, along with that stupid freaking journalist that was working for, I can't remember what dang newspaper it was. But yeah, anyways, all those knuckleheads ended up getting schwacked today in this airstrike. This actually is the interception. Sorry. That's actually the interception of the Houthi ballistic missile that ended up getting shot at Israel following the airstrike. Wow, Matt, get it together tonight, buddy. Holy cowballs. Yep, nobody really cares about Houthi's crappy ballistic missiles. Here's the guy that I was talking about. Ooh, Hassan Abdel Fattah, Mohammed Asli. He is the idiot that pretended to be a journalist and work for the news networks for a really long period of time. You guys remember his face. We've talked about him quite a bit. Yep, he dead. He gone. And all of that took place in these airstrikes. So this is probably my favorite video, and this one ended up coming out a little bit later, but I want to point something out to you guys in this video. It said that 9 bunker busters ended up being dropped on this tunnel system, and they're saying that the way they dropped these bunker busters was the exact same way that they ended up dropping them in order to eliminate the leader of Hezbollah back in the day over in Beirut. So I didn't call it back in the day. It seems like it was, but here we go. Run, Forrest! Anyone else notice what's in the back of that truck? Anybody but me? Anybody else notice what's in the back of this truck where they're freaking allegedly starving their butts off? I can smell the feet, armpits, and curry from here. My God, the noise. Everybody. Shalom. Welcome. Good evening. Good morning, depending on where you're coming from. Probably one of the coolest parts about this video, and I'd have to go back to the part where this guy's running. He's got to be like a couple hundred meters away from these things when they detonate. I know it's on video, so it looks like it's a lot further away than it really is, but they're probably a good couple hundred meters. And remember that even a 2,000-pound bunker buster, you're looking at about 500 pounds worth of TNT equivalent that is going to be detonated underground. And a lot of that has to do with the weight of the bomb itself in order to penetrate the earth. And so they have less explosive filler, but you don't really need it because the explosion is contained inside of the ground that causes it to shake and reverberate and all that other crap. Now, as this guy is running away from this explosion, we're just going to go back to the beginning. I want you to watch by down by his feet. I want you to take a look down by his feet, because down by his feet, what you're going to notice is a bunch of crap smacking the ground around him. And this volume's cranked up way too loud for me on my side, so I'm going to go ahead and turn that down before I put that back up. Okay, you guys ready? Watch his feet after all this crap explodes and he gets to the dirt on the other side of the road. He runs funny too. Right there, did you see it? Here you can see all of the crap. Watch right here on the other side of this trash can. You're going to see things just kind of start freaking skipping off. And that is all of this fallout like coming down out of the sky. That's how far and how powerful this stuff is when it's blasted up into the sky. It's pretty cool to me. He also runs really funny. Now, we're going to pause it right here. Now, the IDF says not only did they drop the bunker busters, but they also included a follow-on strike afterwards, and they're going to be releasing their footage very soon of this particular strike, a non-athletic girl. Incog Faraday, brother, I appreciate you coming in and gifting out those five Speak the Truth memberships. About 400 to 500 yards away, close AF. Yeah, I mean, it was up there. He does run like Seagal, 100% ruckus. Yeah, I mean, they run funny. So not only did they drop the initial like wave of bunker busters going down into those tunnels, but they also had a follow-on strike, they said, for anybody that was going to help and try to dig those people out. And their primary purpose, I guess, is to kill those that are supposedly going back to aid freaking Hamas. Now, this sucker was dangerously close to the hospital. I mean, like, you're going to see it here in a minute. If you guys didn't watch the video that I uploaded earlier, you're about to see how flipping close this was to the actual hospital. Here's another angle of that airstrike going off. Sky God coming in, gifting him out like he's hot. Now, I don't know if you guys notice this or not as these little suckers start to explode, but you notice the difference in the smoke, like this thick black smoke versus the gray smoke and everything that's going off. That's likely because there was other things underground. I've talked about this before, how explosions work, particularly inside of tunnels. When you get that plume that comes up and out, not every single one of these holes came from a bunker buster. I just told you about how many they ended up dropping. And as you can see, there is way more freaking explosions coming out of the ground than just nine. Right. And all of that is going to be those tunnels, entrances and exits that are busting out, coming out like, you know, throwing crap everywhere because you're having sympathetic detonations in the tunnels. If that makes any sense. And so you're having a bunch of crap that ends up getting flung. And when you see these different colors of smoke, that's exactly what you're seeing. So that gray smoke is more indicative of the actual munitions itself versus that thick black smoke off to the right. That is God only knows what that was actually hidden underground. So a lot of lives likely saved with this strike. And like, in addition to knocking out like key leaders, a lot of lives probably ended up getting saved with this particular airstrike as well. And you guys see it right here where you have the gray smoke. And I love this. We go back over here. You see it again. You have the gray smoke. This is actually a really good explanation here. You have the gray smoke, which is likely going to be that initial freaking, you know, bunker buster going to the ground, followed by these other ones that are just going off right next to it, getting blown out of that tunnel. Run, Forrest. And you guys see how this smoke plume was all the way up, then followed by those ones. That's what's happening. We're blowing stuff up in the ground. It's a good day. It's a good day over in Gaza. Let's go take a look at this sucker from a distance. This is, I don't want to say my favorite shot, but you end up seeing a lot of them. Basically, I mean, a still image is pretty dang good, but... Look at that. That gives you like a very good idea of how many they freaking dropped. You know, if we were talking about artillery or something like that, you're looking at a linear target just lacing out across the freaking town in order to take this out. The schematics that the IDF ended up releasing, we'll go over them here in just in a little bit, which shows the tunnel system of what they thought where the tunnel system was at. But I'm telling you right now, that is way more extensive, I think, than what the IDF ended up releasing, because that is not just a strike in that tiny little area in front of the hospital. They ended up just blowing that entire thing. Bro channeled his inner Lance Armstrong. Yeah, that he sure freaking did. Oh my goodness. All right, let's keep it on rolling. All right, up on over here to the next, we're going to go up onto the ground of where one of these strikes took place. What you're looking at here, and you're going to see why in just a second, is actually a collapse. All right, so almost like a sinkhole. Because they ended up knocking this sucker out. That's actually not a strike from a bunker buster. And you could tell because there is a tour bus sitting right on top of it, right? Like it's got its windows blown out and all the other crap. The bunker buster didn't go right in front of it, drop that hole in the ground. But you will see the hole here in just a second. Sean Hughes coming in, gifting out $5, saying beep, beep. Dude, nailed it. Let's go. Oh, there it is. Right here, you're looking at the edge of the hole. All right, so there you have the bus. It's going in. Right here, you guys see this crater right here. This is actually where that munition ended up striking, right over here next to it. Now, interesting enough, you had that bunker buster go in and slam right here. You can see the bus that was just hanging out of the hole. And now you can see where it's blown out on this side of the road. Again, all of this is indicative of having like a vast freaking tunnel network that's going under there. Some of them can look at this and you can say, ah, was it a sewer system? Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's not exactly a lot of drainage ditches on the side of the road over inside Gaza. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think they have a very extensive sewer system over inside Gaza. Pyrep, who on earth is taking a tour there? Absolutely no one. Always last in line coming in, gifting I speak the truth membership. Appreciate you, brother. By the way, let me know, you guys like the new studio setup? I got some other stuff that's on the way in order to make this happen, but I really like it here. I like the way this is set up. I like the way this looks. I hope you guys like it. I know the audio is back on track. Was able to get all the bugs worked out. I like it. I love this freaking studio setup. I calling it the bunker, and whether or not you like it, you're stuck with it because this is where I'm going to be. This is where we're sending out my love from now on. So hope you guys like it. Oh, there's still more left to that video. Got to finish it up. Grammy Alkins, gifting out a membership. Doug Hill just dropping $5 for the banana crew. Appreciate you, buddy. I guess that's why you guys were asking who takes tours in Gaza, huh? Yeah, nobody. Nobody's over there taking tours right now. It's a tour bus. That's why you asked me that. I'm feeling retarded. Got it. No big deal. It's okay. Let's keep going. Here's another shot of this freaking detonation going off. You guys ready? This is a good one, too. Now, I'd ended up pointing this out in the upload that I did today, but can we all just take a second and reminisce at all of the beautiful gardening work that's going on over outside of this sweet little condo inside of Gaza? Alleyway June coming in, gifting us Speak the Truth membership. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's an open-air prison, ladies and gentlemen. It is. You got to look out for them. What? No, are you okay? Oh, rambling. Rambling, are you okay, man? People are concerned about you down in the comments section. I hope you are. I hope you're doing good. That one I'm not very concerned with. I'm going to skip past that. This is actually what I want to bring up because it's right outside the hospital. And then we're going to take a look at the schematics from the IDF here in just a sec. Oh, Sun Wukong. Says your studio is missing a power rack and 600 pounds of weight. Brother, you have no idea what I have over here. Ooh, 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 ooh. No, I first of all, I was never smashing that maid, Doug Hill. Thank you for assuming that. She was cleaning the dang house and almost kicked the camera over. I about lost it freaking mentally when that happened. Oh, I was not happy when that happened. I was so freaking ticked off. She did so good the first time. Thank you, Daryl. All right, so let's take a look at how ridiculously close. Not a studio, it's a bunker. Yeah, Jonathan, thank you for properly pointing that out. It's not a studio, it's a bunker, and that's exactly how it should be. Let's take a closer look at how close the emergency exit that freaking tunnel system was and where those bombs were dropped. Now, I want to point something out here, because clearly we ended up having a detonation that ended up throwing dirt and shit all the way back over by the tunnel entrance. I want you to look at this freaking, you know, ambulance that's parked right here. And we come back around to the beginning of where this ground is cracked and like thrown up. And we come back and we look, hold on, as we go back, you end up seeing all of this is it's cracked and it's thrown going straight down the road. And this is what I was talking about when I said that I think that these tunnel systems were quite literally going right down the middle of this road, because in most of these videos that I've been watching and seeing of this entire strike, what you end up seeing is these long freaking cracks that end up going down. And that 100% would indicate that that's what you have, that those bunker busters hit their target and that freaking explosive wave ended up traveling down and just throwing that freaking ground up. Arctic Angel coming in with 10. He says, what's up, Matt? I've been listening to your show for a while now. Best mas. Thank you very much. Best mas. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot when you end up getting like a nice new studio that you've been waiting on and that you've got like your audio finally tuned in. You've worked out a bunch of the bugs until the next Windows update. So, yeah, I appreciate you, though, friend. Thank you very much. And I also get excited. You know, I don't know how long you've been listening, but generally speaking, when the war coverage was like the war coverage, ended up really cranking this crap off. And it's actually coming back and it's coming to a head, which I'm about to talk about here in just a sec. Here is somebody else that I want to talk about that ended up getting eliminated. This is this POS journalist that we talk about. He gone, he dead, he's out. Pretty happy about that. You can see him pictured with Sinwar up over on the front photo. It's also, I've seen it confirmed and not confirmed. I'm confident that freaking Sinwar is dead, but that, maybe that's just me. Chris Mannheim says, I sound great. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you, man. Hey, how's Rob? Rob's doing great. Rob is scheduled to graduate the police academy soon, and I look forward to shaking his hand and watching him hit the street, because that's going to be a big day for him. Now, immediately following this airstrike over inside of the Gaza Strip, and again, the Hamas spokesperson allegedly got taken out. Mohammed Sinwar allegedly got taken out. That moronic journalist that we just talked about allegedly got taken out. So all of these people end up getting schwacked and knocked down, and you have, how do I want to say this? You have the Houthis fire a ballistic missile at Israel that ends up like falling out of the dang sky or getting shot out of the sky. I believe it was Jordan reported a freaking random munition that just randomly impacted like over there somewhere, assuming Houthi ballistic missile, nobody knows. And then we have Hamas that ended up thinking it would be a good idea to fire a bunch of rockets at Israel out of the Jabalia area or Jabalia. Over inside of Gaza, and the IDF is moving pretty freaking quick on this. I want to pull up this clip real quick of where'd it go. Here he is, Netanyahu. Netanyahu says that Israel will launch a full force operation to crush Hamas. Uh-oh, Suwon Kung coming in. He said, and I quote, "We are going in with everything to dismantle them. They may offer to release more hostages. We'll take them and then proceed either way. We're going all the way." He is worried, right? He is very worried that about 50% of the population of Gaza is going to want to leave. Yeah, Matt Newman, you ended up commenting that at the exact right moment in time. So he Netanyahu ended up saying that he's worried about 50% of the population of Gaza is going to need to get out of there. And then the question is, where do you end up putting them? And so, Matt, to answer your question, what are your thoughts on the Syrian president meeting face-to-face with Trump? inside of Qatar. First of all, let's be honest here. He's not the Syrian president. He is the de facto leader of Syria. He is the leader of a foreign terror organization. He is a specially designated terrorist. He's a terrorist, period, end of discussion. He ended up founding the al-Nusra Front. He ended up founding ANF. He was friends with al-Baghdadi, who ended up founding ISIS. He chose, all right, this de facto leader inside Syria chose not to want to go under al-Baghdadi underneath ISIS because he wanted his own Syrian-centric Islamic caliphate. He does have a claim to Muhammad's bloodline, and that would allow him to do such a thing. And so I really hope we're not gaslighting ourselves in this meeting. Now, Trump ended up stating that they are going to lift all of the sanctions on Syria. And he said after he met with the freaking, Crown Prince of Saudi, after speaking with Erdogan over inside of Turkey, he ended up making that decision. I think a lot of that has to do with where these freaking refugees from Gaza are going to go, because Australia is not going to be able to take all of them. Australians, by the way, if you're in the chat, let me know whether or not they cause problems in Australia. I'd be really curious to hear about it. Soo-Wong Kong. What are your thoughts on Eric Prince? He had an interesting idea of using fracking drilling tech to flood the tunnels, which would have been easier to justify in the court of opinion. Flooding the tunnels, they tried it. They absolutely tried it. Absolutely tried it. And there's a lot of issues that ended up going in with it. And you got to also remember they are worried about the hostages being inside the tunnels. But yes, they did try flooding them and they ended up having issues. I talked with some of the people that were involved in those operations, ended up reporting them earlier on. It basically was a failed operation. And quite frankly, there's easier ways to do it than setting up all of that freaking equipment in order to make it happen. Quite literally, all of the world's problems can be solved with the proper application of explosives. So I had some talks with a couple of those gentlemen, and hopefully they are using the proper application of explosives here in the near future in order to take care of those tunnels. Why not use water? They have the med. It's not that easy. It has to do with a lot of the soil composition and things of that nature, what that water's doing, how it would erode it, what would end up happening. Of course, worried about killing the people inside the tunnels, like on top of that. If there's any hostages that are left alive, they end up having those rooms. They were having to clear them out beforehand. Lots of other crap that ends up going into it. Methane gas. Yeah. And so now we're talking about, different type of warfare, right? So that's not good. But yeah, there's lots of different ways that they can go about doing it. The problem is which one is going to be the easiest in order to make it out. Now, the IDF ended up coming out just a little bit ago. I think it was a couple hours ago. After the rocket attack, and they ended up posting this. This is their evacuation warning for those in Jabalia to GTFO. Now, allegedly, anybody that stays inside of Jabalia is going to be considered hostile. Why are they saying that now? All the way down in the south of Gaza, it looks like they are ready to start receiving people. They have already started moving refugees out of Gaza and over into different locations. So they're screening these people, and they're getting them the heck out of Dodge. So there is zero excuse now for these people to be staying unless they want to die. So they're being told to get out of Dodge. This is not like it was before. This is a completely and entirely different operation. And if I was to sit and hypothesize how this is going to go down, it's these first couple operations, there's going to be a lot of dead people. A lot of folks are going to die. You're going to end up seeing a lot of like weird messed up videos as long as Israel allows the freaking internet to function over there. But you're going to see a lot of really weird effed up stuff as they start to go in there. A lot of different propaganda. And I got a perfect example of that type of propaganda here in just a sec that came out of the West Bank today. They will learn their lesson and they will start moving eventually. They are not coming here, John. Nobody wants to take them in. It is a huge issue right now that they're planning on moving everybody, but nobody's taking them. They need to move a ton of people, but nobody wants to take them. So what do you do with them? And that goes back to the discussion that I just had on Syria, right? Why is it that Trump is willing to meet up with Jelani, who is clearly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, one of the worst human beings that a president has ever met with, right? Like, he has done some pretty gnarly stuff. Currently, his forces are running across Syria committing genocide. To me, it's not a very smart move politically. Everybody's complaining about an airplane. Let's talk about a meeting with Jelani. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how jacked up that is. Airplane is small potatoes compared to meeting with Jelani. Sun Wukong, why do Israelis suck at propaganda? Well, they don't suck at propaganda. They suck at messaging. They're okay. They do suck at propaganda and they suck at messaging. Let's be perfectly honest. Like, if I'm going to be perfectly honest here, they do suck at propaganda and they do suck at messaging. Their messaging is pretty bad. And I think, you know, I've talked to a couple different IDF soldiers about this, and their response is always, you know, like, I don't know, it's something that we've always complained about. They know it. It's an issue that needs to get worked on, but they still don't solve it. I think they're going to get that taken care of very quick, but I also think that a lot of the messaging and stuff, let's see how they end up forming it this time, because right now the messaging that's coming out from the IDF is pretty straightforward. Very, very straightforward. The messaging that's coming from Netanyahu, very, very straightforward. Prior to this current U.S. administration, it seemed very wishy-washy and back and forth and seemed a heck of a lot more political. Now it doesn't seem that way. Now it seems like they are just kind of getting after it. When they start talking about everybody that's staying inside these areas being declared hostile, well, I would assume that that's a thing. Paige Willow says 20 are presumed alive. I don't believe that many are alive. You know, I think that would be 19 now, Paige, because they just released the other one. I think the number before Adan getting released yesterday was 24. And then Trump had talked about four of them being dead that they later confirmed. And so I believe that puts the expected alive count of hostages at right around 19, 48 bodies total. Still in Gaza, if I remember correct, warm or cold. So hopefully they end up getting them out of there here in the near future while we sit back and celebrate this freaking pile of garbage getting taken out. I want you guys to listen to John Spencer. He is pretty smart on the subject, and he is about to lay some, truth down.
That Israel launched a bunch of bunker buster bombs on a hospital in Gaza today. Now, on social media, the explanation is because they wanted to kill as many people in a hospital as they could.
Nope, didn't happen.
The actual reason
didn't hit the hospital either
is that a bunker buster is something that destroys construction deep below the ground, okay? And America was at the forefront of the development of those types of munitions. And they were going after one of the major heads of Hamas, a guy named Sinwar. All right, now I want to bring in John Spencer, my ultimate go-to guy when it comes to urban warfare. He's this the chair at West Point, the best of the best. It's good to see you as always, brother. Here are my questions. Why him? Why now? What happens if they got him? What happens if they didn't? Go.
So why him? He's the number three, right? So the only other persons higher than him was Yahya Sinwar, the commander of all forces, and Muhammad Def, the commander of basically the military. This guy was the head of the Nukba force training and development. He was the chief architect of this 400-mile tunnel network. And lo and behold, he's found in a tunnel. And to be clear, this was a tunnel that led into a hospital. You can see online as well the big hole. A bunker buster drills down into the ground, literally drilling down to reach that bunker or that tunnel that's underneath that ground right there where you see. If it is him, it is a significant blow to what was Hamas and the will to continue their strategy. He was the ultimate of these top three figures, but also all the experience, all the connections, all the motivation to, you can get new fighters and new commanders. You can't get those decades of experience. Does that mean the war's over? No. The IDF are currently staged to launch a mission, you know, after Trump leaves the Middle East. We'll see if that operation goes forward. And they're actually doing what they haven't been allowed to do thus far, which is create an area in the south of Gaza to move everybody into to get the civilians away from Hamas.
Thanks, John.
But if this guy was really killed, and we won't know yet, then it's a significant blow to the will of that top echelon of Hamas to continue to fight.
Of course, now we have to wait for the retaliation, but that's just the order of the day in Israel anyway. They're always waiting because they're surrounded by enemies. John Spencer, I appreciate your perspective as always. Thank you very much for doing it for me.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
All right. Yeah, they already retaliated. Sun Wukong asks, Army question, is the rifle badge specifically for combat action like the Navy USMC combat action ribbon? All right, so that's a good question. Let me show you this real quick, brother. I'm going to have to go over here to pull it up. We have two different badges for infantrymen. One is called the Combat Infantryman's Badge, and the other one is called the Expert Infantryman's Badge. Here is a photo of both of them. They'll kind of be up on the screen up over here on the right side. The one with the wreath going around it, that is the Combat Infantryman's Badge, all right? For those that have closed with and destroyed enemy of the United States of America, hostile action, all that crap. This one down here below it is the Expert Infantryman's Badge. It's a long series of tests that last it's not the best to do. So that's what's going on there. So those are the two different badges. But then there's also, you know, due to the global war on terror, they ended up coming out with this as well. I'm just throwing it out there. This is for all the Pogue MOSs that exist. This right here is the combat action badge. It is the little bayonet with a, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's got a wreath around it. They ripped off the CIB, but that's the combat action badge. Yeah, baby, can't forget it. I was a 31 Bravo. I know. And if you guys got your combat action badge, you know, I love you guys just as much. I ended up giving all the Pogues plenty of freaking like love over here on the channel. And I don't even hate on Pogues. It's just a really easy way to describe non-infantry MOSs. Yeah. So just throwing that out there. No, I mean, I've seen plenty of people fight really dang hard in different MOSs and get stuck in some really shitty spots. And so, you know, my concept of, you know, what you do inside of the military doesn't exactly denote, your service, like what your MOS is, didn't necessarily denote like what you did overseas or what you did here at home. I also know a lot of infantrymen that have never fired a shot in anger. They've been deployed multiple times. It's just kind of the way it goes. And there's MPs that, you know, like it just is what it is. Like the global war on terror was a whole different thing. Gold spurs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. I know we've got that freaking discussion. All right. So there's that. Now, when it comes down to different videos, I said, I want you guys to be prepared for, oh God, I'm trolling. I don't know if you guys know who Maze is over on Twitter. Don't know a lot about them. I just know they're there. Just felt the need to troll her really quick. She said, who attacked the USS Liberty? I said, who killed Pat Tillman? She said, did you say it was an accident? Are you saying it was an accident? And I was like, are you saying Pat Tillman was an accident? Oh, man, dude, I sometimes hate myself. But yeah, nope, speak English. 19 Delta 11 Bravo, Ben, both, and both hate each other. Yeah, no kidding. And let's not forget everybody's favorite, the 19 kilos, man, like 19 kilos. Everybody freaking loves them. All right. Let's go. Where's this video at? So I came across this video earlier, and I was like, something's up with it. And the dang thing has, where are we sitting at now? Almost 1 million views. All right. This video's got almost 1 million views, what I'm about to show you. And its title, it says, incredibly difficult images coming out of Qalandia refugee camp. Israeli forces shot a Palestinian man, then kick him while he is on the ground and stomp on his head. I hope you guys are ready for this one because that is what they're alleging. I'm going to blow it up big, and I'm curious if you guys see the same thing that I saw earlier. This is the guy. He ends up falling down. Did you guys see it? Did you see it? There he goes. He falls down. Did you guys see what I saw? Anybody at all? I'm going to give you guys one more time. Drop it in the comment section if you see it. I'm going to give you one more shot. Yeah, something happened on the left. Hey, good job, D-Rock. That's what I'm talking about, D-Rock. D-Rock, D-Rock, D-Rock. Let me give you guys a little zoomed in freaking picture of what actually happened. Now, that video was very cleverly edited, and I couldn't help but notice that same little flash that D-Rock noticed, right? So here we have what appears to be an adult male right here in the center of the screen that ends up taking one to the chest. Adult male takes one to the chest, and this is after he gets shot. You don't get to see anybody shoot him, any of that. It's just alleged getting shot. He falls over. Now, I want you to watch right up over here off the corner of this building, right up over top left of your screen, corner of the building. Watch right there. Oh, what do you know? Now let's check the timing on how long it took that individual to run around the corner and come back. This is a 9-second clip, and it's got like a little bit of a pause in the beginning. disappears around the corner right around 2 seconds, pops back out at 3.5. Now, I highly doubt that that young man ran around the corner, picked up a rock, and then decided to turn around and freaking come back and chuck it. What the hell is going on with that mentality to where you have a grown man and another one, by the way, up there off the left that was likely doing the same dang thing. And so they're over there chucking these dang rocks. Looks like a kid throwing crap. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. The problem is that not only do they throw rocks, but they also throw improvised explosive devices, little hand, like homemade hand grenades and shit like that. And unfortunately, we didn't actually get like the full freaking clip here to know whether or not they threw explosive devices and things like that at him. Sun Wu Kong says, I know what you meant. I'm a 9-year pogue that only got shot at in training in 29 stumps. Yeah, that'll happen, man. That's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. But yeah, this is, and there was a video like this that was similar that ended up coming out of the West Bank last year where they claimed the IDF ended up shooting some kid in the head on purpose, that the IDF freaking domed a kid. And then what ended up happening, it was a short little clip like this, is you can end up seeing it's a shoot through ricochet that actually ended up hitting the kid in the head. But then another video ends up coming out, longer uncut version. And just like that one, somebody had came around the corner and the kid looked like he was trying to freaking spark up an explosive device before the whole thing went down. Was the elimination confirmed? Yes. As far as I'm concerned, it is, because there's another video showing somebody laying down and not moving in the very same spot. And most of the time when they look like that, they're confirmed. All the IDF here is ping ping. Anyone seen it? Yeah. Well, so there is a difference between a ping ping versus a bullet hitting an up-armored vehicle versus a detonation that takes place outside of your vehicle. But at the very start of the video, and this is kind of like one of those things, as all of this is going on, it actually looks like they had people dismounted on the ground. Over outside of these vehicles, you can see that this hatch is already opened. But it also looks like traffic has kind of been like cleared up and out of the way. So I'm not sure if that's because the IDF had like pulled up over there and stopped or what was going on. But it looked like they were traveling through the area because the traffic down here on the right isn't exactly, you know, stacked up that far. So I'd assume that they had just stopped as they were driving by because something happened. They get out of their vehicles and then all of this crap ends up getting freaking chucked at them. Chernobyl gave you nightmares. That's not good. Guy behind white car passenger side scooter. Correct. You can see him right up over here off to the side when the video starts to roll. He's hiding right up over here behind the street sign right next to the white car. So there was three of them in total that were over there doing this. So 10 eliminated, but I wasn't sure the main guy was one of them. Yeah, that's what I'm tracking. There you go. And it actually looks like there could have been a fourth because you got this other dude that squirts off from the top left as well. Watch him. There he goes. Whoop. So it could have been four. But either way, I find it extremely suspicious that you have this cameraman in such a short period of time. That's the other thing, because we can assess just based on the amount of traffic that's stacked up, you know, behind these IDF vehicles. So we can assess that this was some sort of stupid little freaking trap that they had set up for the IDF coming through just based off of the time frame that it takes these vehicles to get through. You can see this guy was impatient and he saw the stack of vehicles and thought it'd be a good idea to try to go around him. And then the shot ends up ringing out and he goes. So there's a heck of a lot more that ended up taking place inside of this video than they're actually throwing out there. And I got to bring it up because, again, a million people ended up seeing it. Also, that car leaving the scene looks a bit sneaky. So I originally thought the same thing. You're talking about this gray one down here until you realize that the IDF is blocking traffic from where they stopped. And you could see where these vehicles ended up like diverting to go around. This street is still pretty freaking open, right? From the IDF rolling through. You can see the stack of traffic coming up. And it looks like to me, this gray car, and I would assume not that they're going to release it because, you know, that would be too honest of them. I would assume that this gray car was coming up because you can see this guy is on his brakes as he's approaching that area. But this guy probably tried to dodge traffic. And you can see him be like, what the hell? Nope, that's not good. Ah! And then he takes off and he starts driving like, I want out of here. I think he's uninvolved, personally. But it's kind of easy to think that way on the video. And then he stops like, what the hell's going on? I think other people are doing that as well. Normally, if he's going to be shady of that nature, I wouldn't expect him to be sticking around. So. There's that video there. Yep. Now you see it. All right, Jets. Yeah, you got me now. If, you don't run, if you don't have anything to hide, ? No, not necessarily true. Oh, you're talking about the people on the side of the road, D-Rock? Because if you're talking about, look, if this was me and I was downrange of this shit going on, I'd have definitely been squirting off to the side. Like, I wouldn't want to be this guy right here, because if bullets start flying, you're right in the dang middle of it. I'd feel a hell of a lot better off to this side of the road, but looking at where these different people are at, and granted, this guy in the vehicle probably saw something that is not on the freaking video, right? He's got angles down that aisle or down that alleyway and all that other crap. John Kent, dang, 17 members of the Sinaloa cartel just turned themselves into the FBI in San Diego. That's freaking wild. That's a good thing. Hopefully they just end up going off and getting deported. But unfortunately for the Sinaloa cartel, I believe they are a designated foreign terror organization. So they're probably going to see the inside of a jail cell or be deported accordingly. What is off to the side? EW Smart. Yeah, no idea. They're probably on their way to jail. Sinaloa cartel guys. Not good for them. Not good at all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is what I have for you as far as updates go for the day. We've got Trump that's supposed to be meeting up with Jelani. I almost forgot. Got to talk about it. I'm not done for the day. Got to talk about it. Got to tell you guys. As far as the nuclear deal with Iran is concerned and the U.S. negotiations with Iran, there's a very big problem, and nobody's talking about it. And it's kind of gone really underreported and really quiet. I had to dig really deep to find anybody on it. But the last meeting that the United States ended up having with Iran went to crap, went to absolute garbage. Iran has came out stating that they will be enriching uranium. The United States has had a very firm stance that they will not be enriching uranium. And with Netanyahu stating that he's about to go into Gaza, and with future talks not even scheduled, people will tell you that there's future talks with the U.S. and Iran scheduled. That is not true. Iran does not want a deal. That is not true. What is true is that there's a couple countries from the EU that are going to be meeting with some Iranian freaking minister in a couple days, trying to convince them to come to the table for a peaceful resolution. But I'm afraid we're going to be out of time. I think once this strike, like they completely and totally confirm everything that I ended up telling you guys today, I think once they end up doing that, that's where we're going to see this retaliation from Iran. But again, the key here is that is the U.S. and is Israel going to strike Iran before the IDF ends up riding hard into Gaza? And we just saw the evacuation notice for Jabalia. Jabalia is getting evacuated. The IDF is going in, and we're going to start getting more and more notices likely as time goes by. So the question is, how is Iran going to react? Because they are not giving up their enrichment. They're not going to freaking like come to the negotiating table. They're sending somebody over to meet up with a couple guys from the EU, but that's it. We've ran dry. We have. And Trump made a statement today. And in Matt's opinion, I think the statement that Trump ended up making, not that one. A different statement here. I don't even want to hear his statement on Erdogan. Here it is. I want you to listen to this statement. Listen to this.
Because we believe in peace through strength. You have to have the strength. Otherwise, bad things could happen. But hopefully, we'll never have to use any of those weapons. Seems to be an awfully big waste of money if you're never going to use them. But hopefully, we'll never have to use them, because the destructive power of some of those weapons are like nobody's seen before. I believe it is God's job to sit in judgment, my job to defend America and to promote the fundamental interest of stability, prosperity, and peace. That's what I really want to do. I will never hesitate to wield American power if it's necessary to defend the United States or to help defend our allies.
Now, it's funny that he ends up pointing at the Crown Prince when he ends up saying that. When the
and there
real
will be no mercy for any foe who tries to do us or them harm. We will have no mercy. They understand that. That's why I've been pretty lucky. A lot of people think, you know, he's looking to fight. He's looking to fight, and things get settled. It's an amazing thing when they really think you mean it. But we do. We have the greatest military, the strongest military, stronger than any. Nobody's even close. We have the best weapons in the world. But we don't want to use them. If you threaten America or our partners, however, then you'll be faced with overwhelming strength and devastating force. We have things that you don't even know about, you don't hear about. And if you did, you'd say, wow.
Again, this to me isn't a message saying, hey, Saudi Arabia, we're going to back you guys up. If you ever have any problems with some radical Islamists, we're going to take care of them alongside of you if you get threatened. That to me was a direct threat over to Iran. With everything that's about to take place. And now with Trump pulling out, I think it's a little bit irony when it comes down to the timing. We end up closing out Iran. The strike ends up taking place over inside Gaza. And we're get GTFO. And he's about to go meet up with Jelani. And I think that is just to secure the establishment of getting it. Now, Sun Wu Kong, ends up saying, I'm all for establishing dominance, but what are your thoughts on morality of war with regards to curb stomping a neutralized target? So, son, here's the issue. Well, I'll tell you what. What he's talking about is this right here. And because you ended up asking me, I'm going to end up answering that question. And I'm going to do it with a poll first. And then I'm going to explain to you my thoughts on this. I kind of want to know your perspective on it. A simple yes or no. I just want you guys to send it in real quick. I'm just asking you, do you think that this curb stomping that the guy ended up getting was immoral? Come over. You can say yes. You can say no. I don't care. I'm just going to explain to you how all of this ends up going down. A good chunk of you guys are saying no, although I bet you can't articulate it properly as to why it would be. About 8 to 10% of you right now that are coming in on the votes are saying yes. I'm actually going to let this one flow for a second because I'm very curious because I want to explain something about this situation. You know, if you're asking me about curb stomping somebody that's been neutralized, I would be lying to you if I said I haven't kicked somebody in the teeth before in a very similar situation. I think it's immoral. So, you know, we're going to go over that. And I'm going to explain to you why I actually think curb stomping this guy is probably one of the more moral things that this gentleman could have done. And I'm going to explain to you why. You guys ready for this? Because neutralized has a completely different meaning when you're dealing with these types of folks. So let's watch the video from start to finish. Guy ends up falling down. Notice how he is still sitting up. You guys notice that. And as most of you know, as I just talked about with that other video, if they were to engage him again, which again, if he was authorized lethal force, which I'm not sure if he was because they took the video out of context, but everything that I've seen so far likely leads me to believe that due to their ROEs, they probably were. He could have, again, shot him. Okay? At this moment in time, this target is not neutralized. Everybody thinks bullets are these little magical freaking weapons that are gonna, like are just going to immediately knock somebody over and they're just going to drop dead. There's only a couple on-off switches. Clearly, they didn't hit this guy. You can see him sitting up. They then start moving towards him. He's moving again. I want you to take a look at his hands and the position where they're at on him. Look at where they're located as they come up on the target. Now, if he was authorized lethal force, like it or not, with where this gentleman's hands were sitting, his decision-making process as he came up on this guy started right about here for what he was going to do. And he doesn't have complete and total view of this guy. He doesn't know what the hell he has on him. I don't know what he saw before it went down. But they have to go over and secure this guy. If he ends up firing another round, he ends up risking collateral damage, i.e. some unintended casualty, because bullets just don't immediately stop. And as you see down over here, up along the side of the street, along with the little shithead chucking rocks on the left side of the screen, any one of these people could have been hit. Kicking him in the head could be considered lethal force. That's fine. But is he allowed to go up, run, and kick him in the side of the head? Yeah. In my opinion, yes. Now, boom, there. Now they get him down to compliance, and he goes, and he stomps him. Again, why is this freaking legal? Why? Anybody? Why would this be considered legal? My puppy keeps farting, WTF. Anybody else? A target is not neutralized until it's secure. Dylan Dunker coming in with a very positive freaking message right there. As long as that sucker's still breathing and as long as he's still moving, there is still a threat. TJ Adams, yes, skulls are not easy to stomp in. This is not, this is reality. Whether you understand it or like it or not, this is reality. This is the reality of what people have to deal with. Legal and illegal have no place in war. Well, it's a thing. Legal and illegal do have a place in war. You just can't go around killing anybody that you feel like. But if you have a good reason for it, yes, you absolutely can. Maybe he still had a weapon on him or near him. Correct. All right. And if they're acting violently, they're able to get freaking shot. All right. That guy gets to exercise his own judgment. Not to mention, let's bring in the human factor. How many people do you actually think that these particular Israeli soldiers have actually pulled the trigger on before? Contrary to popular belief, not a lot of times, like, do soldiers get to see directly who they're shooting at, especially in the infantry or anything like that. Most of the time, you're just blasting away at shit. Like, if you've been to combat, shooting somebody like this is a whole other deal. I see somebody asking, talking about, is he unarmed? Where'd that unarmed comment go? Until he's cuffed or clearly dead, he is still a threat. How serious is a different story? Yeah. What we don't see in the video is that the poor man was on fire and these kind of soldiers were just putting it out. Yep, that's a thing. Saw somebody bring it up, he's unarmed. The reality is he is unarmed and on the ground. TJ Adams, you do not know this man is unarmed. You don't know if this guy has a suicide vest. You don't know if he has a hand grenade in his pocket. You don't know if he has a pistol in his pocket. You don't know if he has a knife in his pocket. I got a friend that I can introduce you to that went over to detain an individual just like this while clearing a building, and he went down in order to actually secure him. The gentleman was shot. And when he went down to go grab his hands and bring him up, the man pulled out a knife and stabbed him. That's the freaking reality. And so you might not like the way this looks. You might think this gentleman is unarmed, but the sheer fact is you have absolutely no idea what the hell you're getting into, particularly when it comes to these guys. So I'll tell you what, I can ask a friend of mine if he's willing to come on the show and talk to you about how unarmed individuals are probably armed, particularly in these different environments. So you can look at this and you can say that this soldier did wrong. But the fact is, and the reality is that they're violent POSs. Depends if it was IDF or Israeli Border Patrol. Likely, right? Likely. You've got no clue what that guy has on him. Fact. And so it doesn't look pretty. It doesn't. And a lot of people can be upset about it all that they want. But the sheer reality is, you don't know. And by the time you end up making these decisions to engage and do those different things, it's on. And you don't stop until you are confident that that target is down. But the fact that the guy is still moving makes him a threat. Period. This isn't law enforcement. This isn't any of that crap. This is quite literally dealing with radical Islamic terror organizations. Period. Yeah, and the fact that it's being recorded, and we know just based off of the traffic patterns, it's a very short-term video, will tell you that. How much money has this channel lost in the past 6 months? A lot less green, folks. Yeah, they come and they go, my friend. Matt, did you see Rob's kangaroo skin I sent him? I did not see it, Ozzy Mick. I did not get to see his kangaroo skin. Yeah, it looks like Magov by the vehicles. All right, well, there you go. All is fair in love and war. Anyone else heard of that before? Yeah, no kidding, right? Hey, well, it's good to have you guys back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to be back. Happy to have a good studio. Happy to be streaming again. Happy to be bringing you guys all sorts of stuff over from the front lines and all the other weird stuff that's going on around the world. I have been here over 3 years. Cue ball. Dang, brother. Dang. Sky God says, banana, don't throw shade at Tardio. Yeah, no kidding, right? Danny Golan says, by the way, Matt, did you check your DMs I sent regarding the earthquake and the fires? Danny, I end up getting a lot of DMs. I will go over and take a look at them. I get a lot on a daily basis, and it's whether or not I have the ability to do it. Truthfully, setting up a new studio and everything like that has kind of been a lot. I've had a lot going on in my life, for those that don't know. So I'm now happy to be like set up in a permanent new studio to be able to send this stuff out so that nothing's going to affect it anymore. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I love you guys. I appreciate you. I will go through my DMs and be checking on that stuff. Been watching here since Ukraine kicked off. Yeah, man. And Ukraine's about to pop off again. Mark my words. It's about to go down. It's about to get real. Word is that Russians are moving in for a new major offensive. I'm keeping an eye on it. But right now, we got a lot of moving pieces over inside of the Middle East. If you've never served or deployed, you shouldn't say anything about war. Yeah, there's a fact. Arctic Angel. I meant to say Mas or Mace earlier. How long do you think this conflict will go on for? Inside Gaza, you've probably got another solid
3 months of clearing operations, because I think they're going to just be pushing hard as hell. Another 2 to 3 months of clearing operations, they'll be wrapped up by the end of summertime. Should be. You'll have pockets of violence, pockets of resistance, and stuff like that that'll take place. But the way they're doing it is going to be completely and totally different, because you got to remember, they're clearing out the city. So anybody left alive over in that area, it's mandatory evacuation. They're not allowed to stay. So because of that, the way they're going about and going to be pushing through this area, it's going to go quick. It's going to go quick. J.A. says, thank you, Matt, for a daily dose of truth. We all know the facts don't care about your feelings. Much love from Canada. Dude, Jay, I see you commenting on the freaking videos all the time, and it absolutely warms my soul. Most targets from over 200 yards, you can barely see. These are facts. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you all first thing tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, depending on when you guys.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.